Good morning and welcome to this Easter Mass. I think I should give a little more explanation to how we have this combination of a joyful Easter Mass and the commemoration of someone who has recently died. That looks like two things that don't go together, but as we reflect on it, I hope you can see it's actually quite a beautiful combination. Anyway, our brother Delphin the 10th, John Sabido, they call him John, Ben-san died on March 21st, so just a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember John. I must have met him, but I don't remember him well. I certainly know Bang is an old friend of ours and a former associate. I know John's brother, Jude. John's widow is here. I don't know your name, I'm sorry. Janet? Okay. But when we heard that he had died, of course we wanted to pay our respects and offer our condolences, for some reason, I don't remember why, we couldn't get to the wake. It was far away, I think. Or maybe it was short. Anyway, whatever happened, I couldn't get there. Not many people from Anuim could get to the wake. And so we said, well, let's offer the family, let's say, we'll offer a mass for him at a time that's convenient for the family. Now, he died in Lent, and Lent is when we're thinking about death and the sorrows that are part of life in this world. But then when Ben got back to us and said, well, how about April 15th? So we said, well, great, that's not Lent anymore. That's in the octave of Easter, which is the most joyful and solemn and greatest week of the year. And we have already planned a joyful Easter Mass for that day because we don't have Masses here on Sunday. So we didn't have an Easter Mass, but all week we've been having Easter octave Masses, but now we have the opportunity to have the choir, and it's Saturday and more people are able to come. And so we planned months ago to have this special festive Easter celebration. But the family said, fine, that's fine. So that's how it happens that we are here to pray for the repose of the soul of John and to offer condolences to his wife and brother and mother and all the family and relatives. And at the same time to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Now, as I say, it seems like two different things, death and resurrection. But in fact, they go together very well because it's the resurrection that makes it possible for us to have confidence in the gift of life for someone who has died. Now, John had a long Lent. He was diagnosed with colon cancer more than two years ago. And it was already stage four, so they didn't expect him to live that for the rest of the year. That was 2021. But by God's grace, he lived until just last month. That gave a grace to the family. They have John and Janet have a daughter or a son. I'm sorry, a daughter, who's out abroad now, so not with us today. But this gave them a chance, I'm sure, to work through the process of his serious illness and his passing. But there's no solution to death if we don't take into account the one who has conquered death. And what we're celebrating, starting 1 week ago tonight, Easter Vigil, and through this whole week and through these whole 50 days, what we're celebrating is the victory over death, the victory over death itself. Not only the victory of Jesus over his own death, but the victory of Jesus over all death, because he grants us a share in his victory. That's the celebration. Now, we chose for this morning's Mass this theme, which you have on your song sheet, My Strength and My Courage is the Lord, Alleluia. You can see that on there. And there's this kind of joyful image of, you can see that the shadow there is Jesus, because you can see the light shining through the holes in his hands. That's obviously Jesus, and that's this figure here. And the other one rejoicing is us. We're rejoicing in the death and resurrection of the Lord. My strength and my courage is the Lord, Alleluia. Now, where did that come from? Well, the Alleluia, of course, that's the Easter word. So You don't have to look for that. It's everywhere. And even in the songs that we're singing this morning, we'll find repeated again and again, Alleluia, Alleluia, praise the Lord. But where does this expression, my strength and my courage is the Lord, come from? It comes from the psalm that we use today, Psalm 118. Now, this gives us a chance to reflect a little bit on Psalm 118, which is the Easter psalm. It's a psalm we have been using all week. It's the psalm from which we get this famous expression, "This is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice in it." That comes from Psalm 118. And the whole Psalm 118 is a joyful proclamation of the victory of God. It doesn't simply say, Alleluia, Alleluia. It says that I have faced difficulty, I have been threatened, I've had hardships, and the Lord has drawn me up out of the problem. So it's a celebration, not of a life without any difficulties. It's the celebration of a life in which God has raised us up out of all our trials. I'm just mentioning this because we're going to see this again tomorrow. Tomorrow is the Feast of Divine Mercy, the Psalm tomorrow, 118. And it gives a little bit of the context. See, this theme today, my strength and my courage is the Lord, that's verse 14. But we just take excerpts from this psalm because it's long. The excerpts we take in tomorrow's Mass give us verse 13. Verse 13 says, I was hard-pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. The joyful shout of victory in the tents of the just. So we're hard-pressed and falling. We're living in a valley of tears. We're under the curse of death. We are all facing the tomb. How can we possibly rejoice? Well, we can rejoice because of Jesus' victory over all of these things. I was hard-pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. He is my strength and my courage. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. So this is what we're celebrating at Easter. The important thing is to believe in the resurrection and let it have its impact on us. All week, if you've been attending to the weekday liturgies, you know that all week we have been reflecting on this. What happened? What happened on that early in the morning on that first day of the week? And then after we realize what it means for someone to rise from the dead, then we have been reflecting on, well, what does it mean for us? Well, how does it affect our lives? Now, we know the experiences. Mary Magdalene was at first confused. She thought he was the gardener. That's on the front cover of this, on one way, this picture of Jesus as the gardener holding a shovel. Then the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they just thought he was another guide walking along the road with them. Then in yesterday's gospel, when Jesus appeared to the 12, they thought he was a ghost. Not yesterday, that was Thursday's gospel. Then yesterday's gospel, Jesus is standing on the shore and the seven of the apostles are in a boat and they just think he's somebody standing on the shore. I mean, people could be anybody until he told them how to get a miraculous catch of fish. So we have all these experiences, all these accounts of people's experience with the risen Lord. They saw him and they came to understand that it was really Jesus Christ risen from the dead. The same one who was crucified, now he's alive. Today's gospel gives us a different perspective. And this, I think, is important for us. Because here we get the account of not of what people experienced when they met the risen Lord themselves, but what they experienced when they heard the account of eyewitnesses. So it's one step removed from the experience of the resurrection. It's the account of those who saw him. And it's not a very pretty picture, because the first reaction, even of the apostles, when they hear about the resurrection, is not to believe. This has to be true, because there's no way Christians would have liked to put this story into the Bible if it wasn't true. It's embarrassing that they didn't believe their own friends. They didn't believe even though Jesus himself had told them this was going to happen. They still didn't believe. So Mary Magdalene meets the Lord, tells the apostles, they don't believe her. What is she, a hysterical woman? She was possessed of seven demons. What? Not a trustworthy witness in their minds. Then the two disciples who met him on the road and recognized him in the breaking of the bread, they go running back to Jerusalem. They don't believe them either. What does it take? What does it take for these people? As it turns out, the 11 had to see him themselves, and here he appears to them and rebukes them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. It's Mark's gospel. What are we to learn from this? We are not eyewitnesses of the resurrection. None of us. We're not Mary Magdalene or the two disciples. But we are given the trustworthy testimony of the eyewitnesses. We've been reflecting on it all week long. In fact, we'll be doing that for the rest of the Easter season, reflecting on the trustworthy testimony of eyewitnesses. Why is it trustworthy? For one thing, there was no advantage to the eyewitnesses to say it unless it was really true, because it was a huge risk to go around and say, Jesus is risen from the dead. First of all, nobody would believe you, and secondly, you sound like you're crazy. Nobody rises from the dead. So why would anyone say that if it wasn't true? Why would anyone say this man who was crucified and buried is now alive unless it was really true? Then we have, of course, many, many signs which confirm the testimony of the eyewitnesses. The point being, our faith in the resurrection is trustworthy. The victory of the Lord is a true reason for celebration. My strength and my courage is the Lord really makes sense because the Lord is victorious. We can all take our strength from the Lord. We can find our courage in the Lord. We can be confident in the victory over death. Even as we respect the memory of someone who recently died, even as we grieve over the loss of someone who has died, we can be confident in the victory of the Lord. This is Christian faith. We can still grieve because we experience losses, but our grief is in the context of the greater victory. Or we can say, we can still rejoice even though we live in a valley of tears, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. We still rejoice because we know the victory over death is real. But we also know that not everyone will believe us, and not everyone will accept the truth. And we also know that we cannot find our strength and our courage in anyone else. So here's the theme: my strength and my courage is the Lord, alleluia. It means our strength is not in what other people think of us. Our strength is not in our money or our possessions or our status in the world or our accomplishments. That's not where our strength is. Our strength is not in our ability to prove to anybody else what we believe or what we think. Our strength is in the Lord. Our courage is in the Lord. Everything we rely on that's secure is the Lord. Now, we have a great example of this in today's first reading. We've been reflecting on this for the past several days. Peter and John raised or healed a man who had been crippled from birth. It was a dramatic, immediate, miraculous healing. It was a sign. And Peter said it: I don't have any money. I don't have silver or gold. What I have is what I have received, the power of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the guy gets up and jumps around. Well, this is what's disturbing the leaders, the elders, the scribes. They're saying, we can't let these people talk about that name. And so in this reading today, they confer among themselves, what are we supposed to do with these guys? They're talking about this name. They don't even want to mention Jesus by name. And so they say, no, we have to tell them, never speak about that name to anyone again. And then they call Peter and John back in, and they say, okay, never teach about or speak about the name of Jesus anymore. don't say that your strength and your courage is the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't say that. Peter's response to this, beautiful. He's not putting his strength and his courage in the acceptance of very high authorities. These are the most powerful men in the Jewish faith, Jewish religion. He's not basing his strength and his courage on acceptance by authorities, human authorities. He puts his trust entirely in the Lord. And this is what he says. Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. It's a great way of saying, what's more important to you? Your own opinion, your own authority, or the will of God? What's more important to you? You be the judges. You have authority. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. It's impossible for us because our strength and our courage is the Lord, not you. It's a very bold but beautiful way of proclaiming the faith. And this is where we are. In the Easter octave, we are celebrating and proclaiming our faith in the resurrection. And we're saying, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear anything. We don't have to fear what people think about us, or if they don't believe us, if they don't like us, they disagree with us. We don't have to fear suffering. We don't like it. But we don't have to be ultimately afraid of it or stop doing what we're doing because of it. We don't even have to fear death. I know this is difficult when people have died. I mean, loved ones die and we experience that pain. But beneath that pain is this awareness that there is more to the picture, that there is this great, glorious victory over death. And that's what sheds light on the darkest moments of our life. So this is where we are. That's why we say, my strength and my courage is the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We have a place to stand that cannot be shaken by any earthquake or any revolution or any opposition or any persecution or any suffering or even death itself. My strength and my courage is the Lord. Hallelujah.